Hope you had a good holiday break. Lord knows I did. And then we'll go to we'll go back to Ephesians 4. You know, we've been reading that over and over again. And the book of Ephesians is a great book just in itself. We just finished reading it. Twice, as a matter of fact, yesterday. We just went through the book of Ephesians and read a chapter each day. We were just doing it as a church or as a prayer group. And so Ephesians was some strong instructions of what the church was and what the church was supposed to be. Father, we thank you this evening. Thank you for your presence and your glory. And we thank you for your revelation and knowledge in Jesus' name. Amen. So it's powerful. Let's start off at Matthew 16 real quick. To get back on, we'll do a little reading in this chapter because I always jump to one part. Always jump to one part, but it's I kind of read the whole chapter because I got it. There's two words I wanted to write down. The apostle started talking about them yesterday at church, and it's been ringing with me ever since yesterday. You know, we talking about church unusual, and every time I think about the word unusual, I think it makes me think about the mysteries that we pray. We pray in the Holy Ghost. When you think about revelation, because it's something that you don't know is unusual. Every time I think about church unusual, I think about church here because you never know what's going to happen. If you know exactly what's going to happen, and I'm just using the church service as an example, but if you know exactly what's going to happen every time a service goes on, there ain't no revelation coming. Somebody told me the other day, I was talking, it was actually about a certain ministry, and we was watching it, and I was with some people, and we was talking, certain minister, some people close to him or whatever. And if I say the name, you'll all know who it is. And they were saying how the pastor would do certain things, he on certain Sundays he'd be done a little quicker so he can catch the game. They come on the city because he got seats at the game or whatever. And it was a funny thing, but you know, one of the guys I had with me was he was kind of astonished. He was like, they had to be joking. I was like, nah, he's serious. Like, he's really gonna cut the service short, the game. And he was like, but I don't understand. I said, man, listen, bro, they got things timed so much. A mouse ain't gonna get no revelation. You know what I'm saying? Ain't nothing gonna squeak. Ain't nothing gonna move. The Holy Ghost ain't gonna move or nothing. It's gonna be straight up what it's gonna be on the time clock. And then they out of there. Well, in a situation like that, I don't know that scripture where it says the Holy Spirit is on the time clock. Y'all know that one? I don't know that scripture. That's why I tell people I pray in the Holy Ghost, too. I don't know that scripture. It says the Holy Spirit got to speak to you on the 35th minute, and he can't speak to you on the second minute that you've been praying. So I don't know that. So that he doesn't have any limits. He doesn't have, God doesn't move in space or time. And if you know exactly what's going to go on all the time, I mean, it's good to have schedules. I get it. I'm not being ignorant. But if you know exactly what's going to happen at exact times, every time, or you know the exact order, ain't no church unusual going to pop off. It's going to be church as usual and church regular like nothing else because you just know what it's going to be. It just should be different. I know here, man, it's crazy because you don't know what the apostle's going to do when he come out. He's going to tell you, I start singing. One morning he started preaching. He started the message in prayer in the back. He started the message in prayer. It was the first time I've seen this because he's always a stickler for time. He's always a stickler. This one was starting at 9 o'clock. He was always a stickler for starting service at 9 o'clock. Man, he started preaching for a prayer meeting, you know, prayer we have before service, and started ministering, and went on through for about 10 minutes, about 9, 10. So people that were up here who should have been in prayer, sitting up here just squatting and waiting, missed the first whole part. And he came on here and just picked it on up. You know, but that church unusual. and that keeps you. Is they call when working out, and working out, they say and most people don't know this. They say you get on a treadmill and you get on a treadmill and you go. Say after about 10 minutes, your body done figured out what was going on, and so it's gonna level itself out to protect itself, to no longer burn any more fat, to no longer really get further where it's supposed to be. It's gonna level itself out. You keep doing the same thing every day, and it's gonna level itself out because it's trying to protect itself. So it's gonna level itself out. They say about 10, you see the treadmill, about 10 minutes after you end, your body kind of leveled off. I learned that scientifically. This is why they say you alternate, you switch up, you go. They got this thing called muscle confusion they do. And when you're working out, they call it muscle confusion, where you do a bunch of different exercises, so your muscles confusion. So your muscles won't figure out what you're doing, because if it figure out what you're doing, it's trying to stay in the same. It doesn't know that you're trying to build or you're trying to. All it knows is this is hurting, it's stretching me, something's going on. I'm trying to relax. You know, it don't know that you're trying to burn fat. You know, it might need to burn a little bit, but it don't know that. All the body's saying, I'm trying to keep everything that I got, and so it makes itself to level off. And so you have to alternate. You have to confuse it. They call it muscle confusion. It's a little thing, muscle confusion. To where when you do the muscle confusion, it keeps the muscles in a place where they can always be stretched, they can always be broken, they can always be built, and they can always be made up into something that they aren't already. Muscle confusion. And that's how church should be. It should be to the point where if you know it all the time, you know what pastor's going to preach on, you know how he going to say it, you know where he going to go, you know what the lineup is, and you know at the two songs they're going to be the message, you know he going to preach on about 45 minutes, and you know this and that, then ain't no room for the Holy Ghost to move. Ain't no room for revelation. It'll be church as usual all the time. All right. So when I hear unusual, and it's just to lead up to where we're going, when I hear unusual, it makes me think about the mission. You know, we pray in the mission. I learned something today. We're just in staff, and I just Apostles don't tell me nothing, because it's going to be hard for me not to say it again. It's hard for me not to preach it or to say it to somebody. But I learned today, he told us today, he said, you know, when you're praying the Holy Ghost, you know, we always say we're speaking unto God. My personal prayer language to God, right? Right? I'm speaking unto God, not unto man. The Bible says, but unto God, right? Well, I found out, not only am I speaking to God when I'm praying in tongues, but God is speaking to me at the same time while I'm praying in tongues. It's in Isaiah, you know, he said, with stammering lips. Yeah, he'll speak to him. That's another message. But when you're praying the Holy Ghost, he's speaking to you, you're speaking to him at the same time. But it almost makes you think about the mysteries. Church unusual, make up the mysteries. And it makes you think about revelation. What's revelation? What's revelation? Reveal word. What's revelation? Give me some common term. What's revelation? I mean, future. Right? What's revelation? Something that you ain't seen. Something that was hidden before. Another question I asked, what does it mean to reveal? You see what I'm saying? To unveil, to uncover, to I mean, whatever, you're digging it up, whatever it is, to show you something that you didn't see before. To move, I can bust the sheetrock down and it'll reveal to you the 2x4s. It'll reveal to you the things that make this wall sturdy like it is. It doesn't look like it's nice, pretty right now, but if I hit it, it'll reveal to you all the things behind it, all the wires that's making this room light up. It'll reveal it to you. It's the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost reveals to you what's under. He reveals you the things you can't see. He said something in church yesterday, and you can write these 2 words down. You know, revelation, we look for revelation, right? Revelation. But he said progressive revelation. All right, now you said, well, where you going with this? We're talking about the church, because the church has to be built on progressive revelation. So we got revelation. Revealed word. This is something about the future, but it's just something that you don't know, something that you hadn't seen, something that you couldn't see on your own. It had to be shown to you, right? Revelation. So now we got the word progressive. What does it mean to be progressive? Root word of progressive is progress. What does this mean? What does it mean to have progress? Come on, simple. Come on, just in your own words. To move forward. To take steps. It definitely don't mean to be in the same place you were last year. It definitely doesn't mean to do the same thing you did yesterday. All right? Progress is always moving forward, taking territory, moving forward, going ahead. I was looking the other day, and the Lord showed me my feet, and I said, well, I was just looking at people walking. He said, look, I didn't even build you to go. I built you to go forward, like the way your feet face, and then your face to go ahead. Like you're not the only way you go the other way, but your face to go. Like he, I built your feet forward, your hands forward, your arms even fit, they built forward. Like I'm thinking forward all the time. He's always thinking progress. He's always thinking ahead. You're either gonna be progressive or regressive. All right, now sometimes they say, you know, you either be progressive or you be stagnant. But in stagnation, in the midst of being stagnant, is regress. Why is this? Because is time stopping? Is time stopping? Oh, class started at what, 6:45? Yeah, it's a minute to seven right now. There's nothing that you're gonna do. The only person that can stop time is God. He did it before in the Bible. Stop the other sun in one spot. All right, but it's constantly moving. The earth is still moving right now. Everything is going ahead. I mean, it's all moving. So if you stand in one spot, then you're getting behind. If you're standing still, you're behind the times. I mean, just in a couple minutes, you'll be behind the times if you don't watch yourself. And it looks like, to me, that looks like what has happened to the church overall, because they tried to build on something else and not on progressive revelation. So if you try to build on a set of rules that were made thousands of years ago, or you try to build on a set of scripts and scrolls that were made, then you're going to, if you try to build it just on that and not on a progressive revelation, and I'm going to tell you what that is in a minute, but not on progressive revelation, then you'll be stagnant, which means you'll be behind. I was talking to a friend of mine the other day, and met him in the studio. He's another guy, he does music, and we're talking about gospel music, and he made a statement. It's a true statement. He said, gospel music is always 2 years behind. 2 years behind of what's going on in mainstream. It never fails. They have done it 2 years before we decided to do it in gospel music. It's a true bona fide statement. It's always like that. It's same thing in church. A lot of times preachers preach a little gimmicky messages after somebody said something. Over here, but God didn't call for us to be behind. I'm the head, not the tail, right? I'm supposed to be ahead. And so progressive. Everybody say progressive revelation. Not just revelation, but progressive revelation. Now what that does, that challenges me now. Revelation is one thing. All right, let's get a revelation. All right, but now progressive revelation tells me that the revelation that I got yesterday wasn't good enough for the day. What progressive revelation tells me is that today I got to have a now revelation that revelation can be built upon. The one I got yesterday, praise the Lord that it's still here, but I'm building upon that because I don't have a complete revelation without the progress. Like, we'll never have a full revelation of who Jesus Christ is. You know, they say, do you know him? Yeah, I know him. No, you don't know him. You see what I'm saying? You know him better than you did, but you don't know him as much as you will. If I can say that. Know him better than you did, but you don't know as much as you will. And it's progressive. Everybody say progressive revelation. Progressive. It's constantly moving forward. It's constantly going ahead. It is constantly building on what was before. Is it something new? Now, I told somebody the other day, the only person that got a right now revelation is the Holy Ghost. He's the only one that has a right now revelation for your life right then. I heard a guy make a statement one time. He was talking about a certain ministry. And he said, why it ain't working? He said, because they living off a 30-year-old revelation. And it doesn't mean it wasn't a good revelation. It doesn't mean that it wasn't relevant to now. But what I'm saying is, if your spirit man, or you're not being progressive with the Holy Spirit and let him progress that thing, the progression of when people talk about the progression of something, like how is it moving ahead? How is it furthering? How is it maturing? It's the progression of it. What's the progression of it? And so in music, they do chord progressions. You would have to know this. I wish Rachel was here. You know, they do chord progression. That means the chord progresses into, it goes from a bunch of single notes to come together and becomes one bigger note. It's a chord progression. It goes from one thing, it sounds like the church to me. It goes from one you to all of you, like a progression. And it becomes a whole nother sound by coming together and moving forward. Are y'all with that? All right. So progressive. You're constantly being revealed to. It's a constant revelation. I cannot just try to breathe on yesterday's air. I need air for today. All right, progressive revelation. Say it again, progressive revelation. Progressive revelation. So now, move forward. It's powerful to me because it made me understand. So Matthew 16, and I do a little reading. The Pharisees, verse 1, the Pharisees also, who the Sadducees came, and tempting, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now, let me tell you something. Whenever you see the Pharisees and the Sadducees, you're looking at church usual. All right, you're looking at the powers that be, you're looking at the old heads, you're looking at the ones that don't want to move forward, they're still on the scrolls that Moses had. I don't know how long after Moses this was, but they're still on them same scrolls. All right, thank God for the scrolls for when they were given. God had to give them scrolls at the time because there were no scrolls, there were no rules, all right? But as things go on, there's a progression. God is not about if God don't deal with space and time, why would you be stuck in the space and time with God? Why would you be stuck on a certain time when he did something? You know, we might well walk around here and wear togas. Stop driving cars. Stop doing it. No, you progressed. You moved ahead. How many of y'all remember when there were no cell phones? All of us are of age and here to remember. You know, I'm probably, we of age to know there were no cell phones. Like if when I was in high school, you was not gonna find me if you couldn't call me. When you call a little girl or somebody talking to you, you got to call, and you got to talk to daddy when you call, because you got to call the house phone, right? But then they started making the phones in the cars, and you just come in the big packs and the big old phones, and then I just watched, I watched the progress of the phone go to the point where we got phones, we're touching them, we're touching the screen, and we complain about that, we're touching the screen. You know, and the internet flying through the air, like this call somebody just flying through the air. It's progression. It went from somewhere. That's why the Bible said children of the world and their generation wiser than the children of light, because they can progress in things. And it is only the church that's doing the same old stuff it used to do. It's only the church. It's only the church. That is afraid to move ahead because it's afraid of what's ahead. It's so focused on yesterday that it can't see tomorrow. And it's afraid of tomorrow. Honestly, a lot of times it's afraid, the church as a whole is afraid of revelation. Now, I know we're supposed to be built on revelation. We're supposed to live by revelation, but we're afraid of revelation because revelation shows me something I don't know. Revelation might tell me that I was wrong. I got some messages that I preached years back when I started preaching when I was 18. So, you know, I had a certain swag I was preaching with, and I used the word of God. And my dad told me to use the word of God. And certain way I was preaching, I used to preach to them youth, man, I used to be condemning the mess out of them. I was condemning them. And we was getting all the calls, and I know some of them, you know, God bless it, because, you know, God work with you even in your whatever. I was condemning them, boy. I was condemning them to hell. You don't love him? You don't really love him? Look at you. Look at your shirt. Look out. You don't really love him? And as I progressed, I realized I couldn't be stuck. That's all I knew at the time. So God had grace on me where I was, right? But he progressed me. I can't be preaching right now at 32 years old the same way I did when I was 18. If I'm preaching the same way at 32 years old that I was preaching at 18, then I need to quit. I was dead all them years. Y'all getting it? So the church is afraid to go ahead and is afraid for revelation. You know, I was sitting there talking to my staff this morning, and I thought we was cutting edge, man. I thought we was, you know, on the front line with the word of God. We getting revelation. And I thought we had made it. I thought we was ahead of the curve. You know, here, word of life, with apostles. I thought we was ahead of the curve, and the revelation coming, we're ahead of the curve. And, you know, and then, you know, you think you're somewhere, and then he hits you with it. Ain't enough miracles going on. Ain't no supernatural healing and supernatural power going on. So now we get to show me your glory, and then he just drop off 100-something miracles in 1 week. I ain't never seen that like that before in my life, but it's progressive. But see, you're scared of that because sometimes you're scared of that because your ego. Because your ego, it'll say, well, you wasn't doing that then. It doesn't mean you were wrong then. People got to get over it. It doesn't mean you were wrong then. It's just you didn't have the progress or revelation yet. This is where the church looks. This ain't it. You say, where are we going to go now? Where are we going to go from here? Trust me. God got somewhere to go. Trust me. He got a level to take us to. You see what I'm saying? But we've got to be open for the progression of revelation. Progressive revelation is almost revelation in itself. But we have to say progressive revelation now for you to understand we're supposed to be moving ahead with it. But revelation itself is progressive. Revelation in itself is always ahead. It's always in front. It's always moving forward. It's there at that spot. Is the Holy Spirit show you things that you do not know? Then He say He show you things to come. Don't it say that? The Scripture say He show you things to come, right? So what is things to come? We're talking about the future now. We're talking about what are things to come. Holy Spirit got the revelation for the thing that's away from you in 45 days. He's always ahead. Progressive revelation. Pharisees, Sadducees. And when you see the Pharisees, Sadducees, it's talking about the old, stale, stuck in their ways, don't want to change nothing. I'm right, you wrong, no matter what you say. I'm right, you wrong, no matter how you feel. I'm right, you wrong, no matter what revelation you got, who you say the Holy Spirit to you. I'm right, and you wrong. This how we going to go. We're going to kill them. We're going to murder them. We're going to condemn them. If you don't go like me, you ain't going to heaven. Ain't nobody else going to get in but us. They sound like the church, don't it? Come on, as a whole. I'm not talking about your particular church, my particular church, but as a whole, and sometimes our church was like that. Now, I know there have been some ways where, like Chris Center, was just judgmental, and people judgmental, judging people when they walk in because they don't look like them, and they won't tell them they're going to hell. Soon as somebody make a mistake, you're going to hell. Soon as somebody do something they don't like to do, they condemn them, put them on the chopping block. Sound like church, huh? How far are we coming? We still doing what the Pharisees and Sadducees are doing. Because they were the Jews. They said, we're God's chosen people. We're God's chosen people. No, ain't nobody else going in. This ain't for nobody else. They can't come sit in our houses. This is how it used to be. They can't come sit in our houses. They can't come sit in our temples. We're God's chosen people. You know, we can be like that sometimes. We've gotten accepted in. Ephesians are talking about that. Don't chapter 2. It wasn't long ago. You was off without hope, right? We got accepted in. Now we're God's chosen people, so now we have judgment on those others. But who gave you that? See what I'm saying? Now you become Pharisaic and Sadduceic. You got to make sure that you stay out of that. That's not church unusual. So whenever you see that, that's what's going on right there. Right? So verse 1, the Pharisees, also the Sadducees, came tempting, desiring him that he would show them a sign. They always ask a question. Then said, when it is evening, you will say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites. There go Jesus. I love him, boy. Oh, ye hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the sign of the times. Listen to what he's saying. This is what he's saying. Because they asked him to show us a sign because they're trying to figure out. I don't know if they were trying to figure out. I think there was some that were trying to figure out if he was the sent one, the Messiah. Because they prophesied that one was going to come. So they were trying to figure out if he was him. But a lot of them were just trying to get him to say he was him. So they got a right to crucify him. So they got a right to according to their law, to crucify him. Because they didn't like what he was doing. A lot of them didn't like what Jesus was doing. Jesus was uprooting everything they thought they understood. Although he said, I didn't come to do away with you. I came to improve you. I didn't come to do away with you. I came to fulfill you. You know, I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it. That's what he was saying. I didn't come to get rid of you. You know, let you on out into the pasture. No. I came to fulfill you. To fulfill you, all right? But they were asking for a sign because they're trying to find out. All right, so here we go. Now he says, you mean tell me you can look at the sky? You can look at the sky and see that it's red and tell me what time it is? And you can discern the face of the sky. Woo, sound deep, huh? But you cannot discern the sign of the times. In other words, he's saying, you can look at the sky and tell me what time it is, and y'all have figured all this smart stuff out, but you can't see who I am right in front of you. You can't see who I am with the miracles that happen in front of you. You can't tell what's going on right here. You can't tell that I'm the one that's supposed to show you what you're supposed to be doing. You can't tell that I'm the answer to you. Verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall be no sign given unto but unto the sign of the prophet Jonas. And he left them and departed. And when disciples would come to the other side, he had forgotten to take bread. And Jesus, they had forgotten to take bread. And then Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. In other words, beware of them, beware of their word, beware of what they're saying, beware of their doctrine. It's going to pull you back. I've been teaching you progressive revelation, but it's going to pull you back to where you were before. You ready? And then this is like that in the church too. Why you can't listen to everybody? Listen to me. You find somebody's progressive revelation and just stick with them. What? How many messages you need to hear? Somebody called me yesterday, and one of my young friends called me yesterday, and he said, give me some books to read. And I said, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I said, I don't even know what I'm reading right now. I said, I've been reading the Bible and listening to these messages in church on Sunday. I said, I don't know what I'm reading right now. I said, I know reading is fundamental, and I know it's good to read, but a lot of times that reading is deceptive because you got so much knowledge in your head, you think you're doing something, and you don't apply nothing. I'm trying to apply what he preached 5 Sundays ago. I'm currently right now trying to apply what Apostle preached 5 Sundays ago. I really don't have no time to go read. If the Holy Ghost want me to read something, he gonna stumble me across it. I ain't no book club though. You see what I'm saying? I'm not running after. I don't know what I'm talking about. So Jesus said to them, take heed and beware of the leaven and the Pharisees and Sadducees. And when they reasoned among themselves, it is because we have taken no bread. Now they thinking Jesus said, beware of the leaven, because they didn't bring no bread with them. Y'all see that? Come on, look at the story. Come on, it's great. It's great how they set this stuff up. They said he said that. And when Jesus perceived it, he said to them, oh, ye little faith, why reason ye among yourself because you brought no bread? All right. In other words, I'm about to tell you, I'm not talking about no doggone bread right now. All right. You need to get a revelation. You need to see what I'm saying. All right. Do you not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? How many baskets you took up? Think about it for a minute. Y'all remember that story, huh? Mm-hmm. Neither the 7 loaves, because y'all thought he did it one time. Neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000. How many baskets you took up? How is it that you do not understand that I spake it to you not concerning bread, literal, look at my fingers, quote unquote, literal bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Which I tell you is, I'm not just talking about, stop being so dull, and everybody say dull in the spirit. Stop being so dull in the spirit. Get the revelation. When Jesus talks, it's always revelation. I learned something about God. God is real absolute. He talks in a different way than us. He'll say something that we'll understand, but it's not like we talk. But he just puts it out there. And you got it. You got to catch him by revelation. You can only really catch him by the Holy Ghost. Jesus used to, the beautiful thing about the Holy Ghost and praying in the Holy Ghost and having the Holy Ghost is that you get access to something that others couldn't get to. Not other individuals, but others, other powers that's trying to stop you from doing what you're supposed to do. So you get, the devil knows the Bible. All right, so if you just know the Bible, then you and him wasn't what? You ain't no better than the devil right now. Right? He know the Bible. But what he don't have is a Holy Spirit to give him revelation to uncover what's going on. The works that God wants to do, the mysteries, those are it's almost like a secret battle plans that we got that can't nobody else get, and they can't stop it. All right? So now the difference between us and them, us and them, and I'm talking about them. I ain't talking about other people. When we say us and them, we think other people. No. Them people need to be saved too. We're not fighting against them. You know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Y'all know that, right? So if it's flesh and blood, we're not wrestling against that. It's not us against the sinners. Are y'all with that? Because church unusual now. It is not us against the worldly people. Worldly people. All is worldly. You in the world, ain't you? All right. It's not us against them. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the spiritual wickedness. You know what I'm talking about? That's the battle. All right. So now the Holy Spirit gives us revelation that bypasses what they know. They know the Bible, but they don't know the supernatural understanding and the supernatural methods that the Holy Spirit used to get you from point A to point B. That he'll transport you, he'll teleport you from point A. Remember that man when lay hands on when baptized that man, and when he came up, you couldn't see him no more because he was in another city? That's how the revelation does you. Revelation does you. Take you from point A to point B, and you don't know how you got there. That's what it does. And so when Jesus is talking, he talks. What language he talking in? He don't talk Hebrew. He don't talk he talks revelation. That's how he talks. He was always, you know the parable, remember the parables? He said, why are you speaking to us in parables? He said they got people around here, but they don't need to know what we're talking about right now. He said, the enemy right here, I'm not going to say much right now because the enemy around, but he ain't got nothing in me. Remember that? I'm talking to you in parables because it's not for them to get it. It's for you to get it. Now, for the longest, I get Jesus not understood because I realized now that Jesus was teaching them. He was the living word. Like he was actually, his life was actually teaching them. Like he wasn't having messages. He wasn't an anointed minister that wasn't how he was teaching them. He was teaching them. Y'all get it? Look at me. He was teaching them. Like who he was teaching them what it's supposed to be. And I was like, well, the Holy Spirit ain't came yet. Jesus, why are you being so hard on him? But he was there. Because as long as they were with Jesus, they had the Holy Ghost. So they obviously had to have access because Jesus wouldn't have been putting them out there. Because they was with the Savior. So now he's talking revelation. He said, I can't believe that you sitting here thinking that I told you about the Pharisees and Sadducees and beware of their leaven. Because you forgot the bread on the other side. You really think that I'm going to take my time to talk to you about something that we can just make out of the air because we done it before? All we got to do is find a loaf and a fish. Heck, if we go back to the Old Testament, we can make bread fall out of the sky. Right? Manna from heaven, right? Y'all know the story, right? So I can't believe that you don't catch the revelation. I'm telling you, beware of their doctrine because they're going to pull you back. You need to beware of their doctrine because they're going to pull you back. They're going to make you regressive, not progressive. And now we're going to get to the favorite part. This is the part that we know in the chapter. Then understood they how he had bade them not to beware of leavened bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? So now they finally understood. When Jesus came in the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked disciples, saying, now he's trying to get to this the whole time. What he said? Y'all see it? Verse 13. He asked disciples, saying, Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some said that all John the Baptist, some Elias, some Jeremiah, some others the prophets. He said, but who you say that I am? We know this story, right? Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered him and said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Flesh and blood has not what? Flesh and blood has not what? Everybody say revealed. Has not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. That thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my, upon this rock I will build my, so upon this rock, not Peter. Peter ain't the rock, because Peter was the same one that denied. Peter's saying one of a couple of scriptures, he's going to tell him, get behind me, Satan. I'm not talking about building on you, Peter. Upon this rock, what rock? The revelation of who I am. You know, they say Jesus was a stone that the builders rejected. Huh? So you got to put all that stuff together. That's what he's saying. I'm a stone, the rock. The stone that the builders rejected. Who the quote-unquote builders, Pharisees, Sadducees, and the stone that the builders rejected. They didn't want to accept me. Upon that rock right there, that rock, upon that rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. But I promise you, I can show you why the revelation is progressive. It's moving forward. Want to know why? For the longest, you probably heard this before, and then somebody made a cooler mess out of it. But every time I see it, I understand that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church, right? Right? The gates of hell should not prevail against the church. For the longest, I thought, well, the enemy is fine what you're thinking wrong about stuff. That the enemy ain't gonna stop us. That the enemy ain't gonna be able to come against us and conquer us. No. Gates don't move. Gates don't have wheels. Yeah, gates in front of my daddy's house right now. Them gates are going to be there when I get back tonight. They're going to be there tomorrow. The gates are stationary to protect a kingdom. So now when it says, upon this rock will I build my church. This revelation, upon this revelation, progressive revelation. Everybody say progressive revelation. Upon this revelation will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What that means is if gates don't move, if it's saying that it won't prevail against us, that means that if the gates ain't moving, we moving. That's telling me that I'm moving ahead and the gates of the hell ain't going to be able to stop me from getting where God want me to go. That means tell me that whatever gates, they call them the gatekeepers, even not in spiritual terms, the gatekeepers, the higher powers that try to control different things in industries and the financial, the gatekeepers, right? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. That means if I got to go that way, if there's a gate of hell trying to stop me from that, it will not prevail against me. It shows me that it's progressive revelation. It shows me that we're moving forward. It shows me that we're moving, because on that, I will build on that rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth, thou shall be loosed in heaven. Y'all see that? See, if the church is stationary, it's wrong. If it's not moving forward, then it's out of order. Now we're going back to the Sadducees and Pharisees. Now we're back to unleavened bread. Now we're back to uncircumcision. Because the circumcised, the sanctified, the righteous move ahead. So upon this rock, what time is class in? 10 minutes, okay. Upon this rock will I build my church. This rock being the revelation. Now, don't forget that. Now what you're going to have to do is go ahead and study this. You have to go back and you have to study this. Now study this for class. Thank God that you're going to pass the test and all that good stuff. And that's cute. Thank God for all that, all right? But it's deeper than that, all right? You got to get this revelation of what's going on, all right? Because somebody else understanding this is dependent on you. Oh, y'all do know that, right? Somebody else understanding this is going to depend on whether you get it in your heart and be able to relay it. So, bless your test. Ooh, bless your test, but not life. Life now. All right, so upon that rock, the rock, what's the rock? The revelation. What's the revelation? The revelation of Jesus Christ. So now I understand that Jesus Christ, Jesus himself, Jesus and who he is a progressive revelation. I told you this one time in class, but it's not a moment that you sign your certificate, your salvation, you accept Jesus, you sign your certificate that time. It's not that. You're being saved. Huh? You remember that? You're learning more about your salvation day by day. Jesus is progressive revelation. He is that. He is the moving forward. He is your, all right. So Ephesians 4, and I'm gonna do some quick reading, so y'all better get ready to roll with me for a second, because I got to get this out tonight. I can't wait to do this in another class. I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord, beseech that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness, meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the spirit of bond and peace. There's one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling, one law, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So we got grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So how big is the gift of Christ? All right, well, that's how much grace we got. All right, you got it? According to the measure of the gift of Christ, what we say, when he ascended up on high, he led captive to captive and gave gifts unto men. Now then, he explains what he's talking about when he's talking about the gift of Christ. Now that he ascended, what is but that he did also descended first to the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Verse 13, you read. Ready, read. T- till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man. Perfect has everything to do with purpose. Unto a perfect man, until we measure up to the stature of Christ. Until we measure up and we size up to him. Until what we're doing is up to par with what he do and who he is. They were henceforth no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head. What is next line? What's the next two words? Even Christ. He's the head of the church. All right? He's the head of the church. Who's the head? Even Christ. You want to know what the church is supposed to look like? Find out what Christ looks like right now. Find out what Christ looks like right now. How you find it out? Only by the Holy Ghost. Find out. All right, some come up tomorrow. Some come up tomorrow. Right, this church. Right, remember that we are the church. You know that, right? You remember that, right? We are the church. We are the church. You are the temple. All right. So this is church. When something comes up tomorrow or something goes on with your family or something goes up, all right, find out what Jesus looks like right then. All right? Something come up at work or with family or with children. Find out what Jesus looks like right then. And that's your answer. Jesus said, I'm the way. The way to what? No. No man coming to the Father. What does coming to the Father do for me? It gives me life. It gives me understanding. It gives me wisdom. These things God provides, right? It gives me increase, right? It gives me health. It gives me progress, right? So no man comes to that, the giver of life, the creator. No man comes to that but by me. So that means you don't get access to those things in that situation but by the way that I did it. Well, how did he do it? I only do what my Father tells me to do. Me and my Father are one. If it was not so, I wouldn't have told you that. Well, I only do what my Father tells me to do. I don't do nothing else but that. So now, situation happened, boom, and it fell on you. All right, now you got a crisis of belief right now. You got to find out how you're gonna handle this. Now your mind is gonna go to what you did do before. Moses didn't enter into the promised land not because he got mad. We learned that so many years, and he probably was mad. And that probably was a part of the mixture of the emotion that was going on. But the problem was God told him to speak to the rock, and what he did. Struck the rock. Now, you thought he did it just because he got mad? No. Moses was trying to live off of old revelation. You go further up in the book, a little further before that, and God had told him to strike the rock before and the water was going to come out. So there was a time in Moses' life that he struck a rock and water came out. It happened. Now we get to this time, progressive revelation. Now I'm trying to get you from the point of, I'm trying to get you from the anointing to the glory. I'm trying to get you from, you got to lay your hands on people with anointing to now let the glory come in and do what it's going to do. No touching. No. You ain't got to touch nothing. Hands free. Speak to the rock and it's going to yield water. Moses went back to his old ways and struck the rock so he could not progress into the promised land. Do y'all get that? Do y'all see that? So, Ephesians 1, go over there quick. One to 16, I'm going to read these two prayers. Read Ephesians prayers, the one in chapter 1 and one in chapter 3. And it talks about the church and Christ and the church in both of them, right? He says, start off with verse 16, Ephesians 1, verse 16, cease not. Let me start verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Knowledge of him who? That the eyes, the knowledge of Jesus. I want you to get the revelation of Jesus. See the revelation of Jesus? How do y'all see it? Verse 18, now this is what he's talking about. That the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Talking about Jesus. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I mean, it, like, in other words, what are the riches and glory of his inheritance? Joint heirs, all right? And what is exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, watch this, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places. Verse 21, for above all principality and power, might and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is coming, and put us all things under his feet and gave him be the head over all things to the what? To the what? Head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. I ain't got no time to expound. Go to chapter 3. We're going to read this pattern. You got to read this. You got to go back after the night. You got to go back and read this on your own, because you're going to get a revelation of Jesus. When you get a revelation of Jesus, you'll know exactly how the church is supposed to be. Chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he will grant unto you according to the riches of glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit, where? In the inner man. That Christ, listen to this, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. That Christ may dwell in your hearts, so that ye be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Verse 20 is our favorite, right? Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in him, worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the what? The glory, where the glory be at? Where's the glory at? In the church, by Christ Jesus, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Y'all saw the church in both of those? So both of those prayers, you saw revelation of Jesus, the church, head of the church, glory in the church, but it's only by Jesus. Huh? I gotta go back and listen to this whole thing, because I go back and catch it. You gotta go read these things. This progressive revelation, I'm walking out the way I'm talking about this. The progressive revelation, it don't stop. Now, you before you go over there, you better be ready, because it's going to keep coming. And just when you think you got one thing down, he's going to give you another one. It's going to keep coming. It's going to be hard for you to let your mind chill out, just being honest with you. But it's a wonderful thing. But you have to take your time. Go in there. See, you got your notes and everything. Don't do it for class. Do it for learning. And then go. Yeah, amen. My real, amen. Hey, Brother John.